Well, you know, it's with the new website, we always like to have people check out the old website. But the new website is doggone awesome. Punch it up. As a lot of the, my friends, they've told me, it's very nice. And the glitches are worked out. Punch in and live streaming and podcasting. And
yeah, if you can't catch us on your favorite radio station every week, you can always go to our website. Just go to thevalleyoutdoors.com. You can hit the orange button right there on the front page, and you can catch the show.
Easier than ever.
Yep.
Yeah, that's awesome.
If you're out of the market, that's a good way to do it.
Perfect. Well, hopefully, and we've had conversations about that, hopefully we'll be in your market soon. If we don't have you and you're breaking up, as Johnny Mathis said, a drive-through, if you ever know what I mean there. It's a sad joke, but it's kind of funny. If you're not getting every word that we're talking about, definitely put word out to us and let us know that you want to get the Valley Outdoors in your neighborhood, and we'd be happy to address that, Don.
Happy to talk to your local radio station.
We'd love to. Spread the love as it goes, right? Right, Ava?
Absolutely.
Spreading love. That's the way it works. Speaking of spreading love, this is all the way across the big pond. This is in Essex County, England. A teen catches giant catfish minutes after doubting her luck, her father says. This 15-year-old girl caught a catfish that exceeded her height, and it happened to be on Friday the 13th. Hannah went fishing with her father, Paul, 51, of Essex County, on the superstitious day, according to Southwest News Service. The pair traveled more than 100 miles from their Derbyshire home. Why is everything a shire?
Don't know.
I don't know. That's interesting.
I'll ask my English buddy.
Okay, perfect. Home to the county's White Lakes area. According to the teen's father, she had doubts about their fishing trip because it was Friday the 13th. She didn't think they'd catch anything because of the date, but I said, not everyone can be that unlucky. Hannah's first catch of the day, 96-pound, 4-ounce catfish.
That's a big catfish.
It took two hands at people to... Two people and four hands to hold the thing up. That was her personal best by over 20. That beats the personal best by her last record by 25 pounds. There's a lot of men that haven't caught one over 40 pounds, and they've been doing it for a ton of years. And she's had about 23 in the last 4 years over 40 pounds.
Wow. I got a feeling Dad knows where the hot spot is, where the pool is, where they're hanging out.
I think he's passing down some great skills.
Yep.
She went on to catch this. This is the big thing. She went on to catch five more catfish that day, which brought the total weight of her haul, the five fish. What do you think the number is, Don?
Well, they can't all be 90 pounds.
400 pounds.
Wow, that's 80-pound average, if my calculator's working.
That's... You're right on.
Yeah. Wow.
Paul, her dad, said that he and Hannah went first fishing together when she was around 6 years old. Since then, she's become a specialist in catching catfish, like you, Don. I've left her to it and said, I'm not going to help you. And over time, she just mastered it. They told the news source that she learned how to hang on, and she's spot on at playing them.
Wow. I love catching them. I'm really good at it, by the way.
Look at the... I mean, it doesn't even look like a catfish, does it?
No, it...
It looks more like an eel or something, but...
Right. It's long.
They have a different breed.
It's got two people. I mean, her and I would guess her dad holding it.
That's her dad holding it, yeah.
Yeah.
And there's a trailer. They've got a bunch of them in a sling that they're apparently bringing home to... do something with.
I don't know
what, but all I know is that's pretty crazy.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's a lot of catfish.
Talking to a story that I brought up earlier and teased a little bit about the federal duck stamp contest, one individual that is no stranger to winning duck stamps, James Houtman, has won the 2021 federal duck stamp. After 2 days of competition, James Houtman of Chaska, Minnesota, emerged as winner of the 2021 Federal Duck Stamp Art Contest with this pair of redheads floating in the water. The announcement was made via live stream at the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service headquarters in Falls Church, Virginia. He spent a lot of time acrylic painting, and that will be made into the 2022 through 2023 Federal Migratory Bird Hunting and Conservation Stamp, or duck stamp, which goes on sale June 22nd of this coming year. The service produces the federal duck stamp, which sells for $25 and raises approximately $40 million in sales each year. These funds support critical conservation to protect wetland habitats in National Wildlife Refuge System for the benefit of wildlife and the enjoyment of people. Just some rough numbers. The Migratory Conservation Commission, chaired by Secretary of the Interior, approved an allocation for $111 million from the fund. $111 million. That's a good number. So partly duck stamp dollars support the acquisition of land, and yeah, it's amazing how many talented people sign up for that thing. Have you ever seen the number of people that submit their art?
No, it must be. I mean, it's really a feather in your hat to be selected for that. Oh. And I don't know if there's a reward or an award that besides the recognition, but I'm guessing there's a financial reward for.
Yeah, there is. I forget the exact number. One other number I want to make sure I got out there. It was first established in 1934. I did not know that. So it's been out for a long time. And it's raised more than $1.1 billion.
Wow.
And that's from contributions. Yep. That's from the hunters and people that,
well, that
are
duck
art
stamps.
Collectors. And, right. But, I mean, because you're needing a duck stamp and it's part of the gig. Mm-hmm. Pretty cool deal. 137 entries were judged. 14 made it to the final round. And the secondary runner-up was a greater white-fronted goose. From Ross, it's called the Ross's Goose. There's a blue-wing teal, king eider, and then a redhead also. And so, yeah, pretty amazing stuff. Unbelievable. Cool. How are we doing for time?
Well, you're doing just fine, but we can take a break whenever you want.
You know what? Let's take
you
a break.
Do that?
I don't want to jump into the next story. We're going to take a break. We'll be right back. And we've got a story about an Idaho hunter's who found the remains of a man that was missing for 53 years. Hang tight. Cool story coming right up. Eric Olson here, professional walleye tour champion, avid outdoorsman, and host of the Valley Outdoors radio show. Aquatic invasive species, or AIS, threatens not only our rivers and lakes here, but everywhere we boat. They come in many forms, and they love to hitch a ride to the next body of water on your boat or trailer. Join me to stop the spread of AIS by cleaning all weeds and aquatic material from your trailer before leaving the launch ramp. Drain live wells and clean areas that don't drain completely. Plus, don't forget to pull the plug. Clean, drain, dry. Together we can make a difference. So, Don.
Yes.
In the world of radio, they call it the T's, right? So you talk about something before break. You want to keep people around. I don't know if talking about somebody finding somebody dead was necessarily a good tease.
Well, maybe the fact that it's been 53 years.
Yeah,
well,
a hunter
pique their interest.
Yeah, a hunter found them in Idaho. And what would you? Okay, so this is a good question, Ava. What would you think if you're out hunting in the middle of the wilderness and you come across human remains? See, that's what I'm getting at. What would your first thought be?
Blair Witch Project? I don't know.
Well, no, wow. Keep in mind, a lot of these guys, you're out a day's hike, maybe two.
Right.
Horseback, who knows? And you're like, now what? Don?
Well, you'd have to try to figure out how to get hold of a park ranger, but there's no hurry. I would wait till the end of my hunting trip, and then I would.
Yeah, that
I
probably.
Would
could
I
be.
Would notify him because you're going to have to take a GPS coordinate.
You're terrible.
There's no hurry.
Well, it's been there for
53
years.
Can't
wait another
54 days. Anything going to hurt?
Oh my God.
Sorry.
I'm going to side with Don on this one. Why throw
no,
a wrench
it's no
in
argument.
Your plan?
But you have to admit,
no,
what
that's
would you?
Terrible.
What would you think?
Oh, gosh.
I would think you had a bad day.
I would be, well, first.
So you had a bad day.
Yeah. I mean, there's probably family wondering where this gentleman, anyway.
Bummer hunting wound.
Yeah.
Yeah, not good. Well, an Idaho bow hunter who was looking for a shortcut, instead he found the remains of another hunter been missing for 53 years. Raymond was 39 years old when he was last seen on September 7th, 1968. While bow hunting for mountain goats in central Idaho's Lemhi County. The searches were unsuccessful, and Jones's remains went unfound until Friday when another bow hunter stumbled across them. The hunter called Lemhi County Sheriff's Office to report the discovery. He was in the same area where Jones had disappeared nearly a half century ago. I'm surprised he didn't move.
Well, it's, you know, it's, there'd be more gruesome things part of that, but the fact that he was hunting goats, he's in high country.
Oh yeah,
so there's a lot of sheer cliffs and drop offs and things like that.
Yep. Well,
having been there,
the hunter was seeking a shortcut from one hunting area to another when he found the human remains and then contacted the sheriff's office. Due to the lack of remaining daylight and ruggedness of the terrain, recovery efforts began in the morning of the following day. They found part of Jones' wallet with his ID tag still in it. And his family members are still alive, and they have been contacted. The Associated Press story from 1968 detailed his disappearance and subsequent search. There were some other hunters in camp, but he was by himself when he disappeared. The search was launched the day after he vanished, including more than 70 people and aircraft support. Efforts were temporarily called off because of severe snowy weather, but later resumed after footprints were recovered on a nearby ridge. Still, the search ultimately was unsuccessful, leaving Jones' body unrecovered until now. Pretty wild, ain't it? You have another bow hunter looking for a shortcut who stumbled upon another bow hunter from 53 years ago, one of the guys said.
It's pretty wild. It's sad for the family because maybe a lot of the family no longer is around, so
yeah.
They won't know. They won't have a closure to that.
Yeah, but the ones that are around do have closure, so yep, that's nice.
That's a big deal.
Yes.
Yeah. Muskie reportedly bites swimmer in Lake St. Clair. What was meant to be a typical Friday morning training session for a Windsor, Ontario swimmer turned into a fight with one of the larger freshwater fish found in the Great Lakes region. Matt Jervis, who has competed in triathlons for more than 20 years, was bitten by what he believes was a muskie in St. Clair, which runs between Ontario and Michigan. I've fished there before.
Yep.
And on a recent morning, he was out with a friend. About 5 minutes into his swim, he felt jaws of a large fish clamp down on his hand. Your mind immediately goes to shark, but I had my wits about me to know that was highly unlikely. He described the pain as sharp and intense.
Yes.
Looking at the fish through the water, you could see its teeth gripping three of his fingers and part of his hand. He said it was over quickly. He managed to free himself after about 5 seconds, but his hand was covered in blood and badly injured. Swimming on his back with his injured hand in the air, he and his friend made it to shore approximately...
How far?
I'm reenacting this whole thing.
I'm like, what are you doing? He has her hand straight up in the air. So he is swimming on his back with his hand in the air. Well, elevate. Stops the bleeding.
Well, and keep it out of the gross water.
Well, it's already been in the water.
I know, but still.
You're done.
The water is the clean part.
Oh, well, yeah, the fish would be.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Come on. Great.
So he, on his back, injured hand in the air. They made it to shore. About 45 meters, and that's because it's Canada. They say it's meters.
Right.
45 yards. We'll just go with that. To the break wall of a home in Riverside Drive, they climbed a steel ladder to reach the backyard where the homeowner helped them clean the wound. Finally made it to a nearby medical clinic where his wounds were closed with 13 stitches.
Actually, we just had that happen on our last trip to Canada, one of the gentlemen.
Well, I didn't hear about that.
Yeah.
You didn't hear that story.
He got his thumb a little too close to the sharp stuff. He opened it up pretty good. And,
really?
And you know, yeah, and I've seen it happen before, you know, because if you pick up another, and if you know how to do it correctly by getting inside the jaw, and picking it up.
Not inside the mouth.
No.
In the back of the jaw.
Back of the jaw.
Not in the gills.
But you got to put a death grip on that, because if they shake, I watched the poor guy's hand just about come out the front of his mouth, and it was about an 18-pound northern at the time, and that was a mess.
They scare me.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you got to know how to deal with them. And I don't.
Like, honestly, if I get one, it's kind of like somebody else needs to handle this because it's dangerous for me.
Well, so we did a fishing trip with John Gillespie. You know John Gillespie, of course.
Yep.
Get to Vrabel. Great, fun guy to fish with. He's stubborn in his ways. He will always fish with a Kalins, regardless of what the bite requires.
Yep.
That's the first thing.
Yep.
But we were out fishing out of Andy Meyer's lodge last year, and it was a year before last, and it was crazy.
You were fishing for muskie.
Yeah, we were fishing for muskie. We fished for smallmouth one day. We did the multi-species thing. And the entertaining part about that was we actually ended up getting a 55-inch. I get a 55-incher, and it was an absolute behemoth. And you immediately, you know, because I've handled enough bigger pike, you know how to handle it, but you don't understand how massive and strong these fish are.
You don't pick them up.
Well, I did. You pick them up, and you take a photo of them. You don't really pick them up and hold them. You don't want to do that to them. You support them lengthwise, make sure that you're not hanging them by their jaw,
right?
That kind of thing. And it was amazing how muscle bound are. And
they can
do some damage to your wrist if you let them feel they can get away, they'll shake and do everything they can. So, but we successfully released it and got it back in the water. But boy, they are a tank, absolute tank. And you can have some damage done, no question about it. So, entertaining for sure. Last but not least, we actually had something that we'll talk about next week. One of those things from the trip that we didn't get a chance to talk about because it was a gift that keeps on giving. So we'll talk about it.
Well, what do we got to wait for?
Well, do you want to talk about it now?
Well, yeah.
Well,
we got
just so
you got about 30 seconds.
30 seconds.
Okay, so if you're not familiar with the banana situation, bananas are bad luck. One of our guides that was up with us had a trick played on him by one of the guests. Chris decided that he was going to. Yeah, well,
you know
we're
what?
Not going to fill you in. We'll fill you in on it next week.
Yeah.
We'll fill you in on it next week. Sorry. That's the ultimate tease for Valley Outdoors. I'm Eric, Ava, and Don. We are out of here. Till next week. See ya.